You're listening to a podcast from Trinity Church Buxton. For more information, please visit our website at trinitybuxton.org.uk.
The reading is Colossians 3, 117, page 1184. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on new self, which has been renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
Thankfully, the NIV headings are not part of the inspired word of God. And in this particular case, they are, I think, particularly dreadful. I just want you to look at this. You see, beginning of chapter 3, it says, rules for holy living. And next week, we're going to come on to rules for Christian households. Now, what is fascinating, of course, is that Paul has just told the Colossians to be very wary of those who come imposing rules and saying, here are rules, here are things to do that will bring you closer to God. I think it was unfortunate for the NIV to give them that title, because really, of course, what chapter 3 is what it looks like to live out who we are in Christ. The fullness that he's been talking about that the Colossians have. If you remember, you have been given fullness in Christ, 2 verse 10. So a better NIV heading would have been what it looks like to live out that you're in Christ. Now, Christ commands us to do certain things, don't get me wrong. I just think it's a clumsy heading that is there, because this is all about who the Colossians are as a church in Christ, united to Christ in his death and resurrection and present reigning in heaven and his future return. Christ is our life. Therefore, live out your new life in Christ. Now, the reason I say that is because I want us to keep thinking clearly as we come to this, because what is the engine? I don't like the particular word engine, but what is the motivation? What is the power that we have to live the Christian life? It is the fact that we are in Christ, united to Christ. I rather liked last week, he didn't actually refer to it, but Graham had as his title, he changed my title, which is fine. I mean, my titles get changed every week, if you notice, if you follow them carefully, they get changed just before the sermon starts, actually. But he had the title, The Truly Spiritual Church, which I rather liked. I was going to call this, What the Fullness in Christ Church Looks Like. I put down here the question, do you want to know what fullness in Christ looks like? What will the truly spiritual church or fullness in Christ church look like? Fascinating, isn't it? If you want to work out your fullness in Christ, it will mean, well, look, what we looked at last week. It will mean bearing with each other, forgiving whatever, verse 13, whatever grievances you have against one another. Loving, putting on love. It's very powerful, this, isn't it? This is what the fullness in Christ church will look like. And please note that I'm going to talk about the church together. I wonder, have you turned up to church this evening in a pretty individual frame of mind? This is about me and God. You know, it took me years to work out what it really meant when we gathered together, united in Christ, one another, the church, because we come perhaps inevitably as individuals. You know, we are born again as individuals, but we're born again into a family straight away, aren't we? And here we're going to see what all of this means for us as a church. Now, we'll have to apply this individually. I can't obviously put to death your sinful nature. I can only put to death my sinful nature. But see how as we go on in these verses, how it's really all about the corporate life of Christ's body, the church. So we've got the flow. There's the false teachers, and Paul said, don't be taken captive, don't be deceived. The false teachers want to add to Jesus Christ their rules, their experiences, and say, you must have them. But of course, Jesus Christ is the one who brings us to God, reconciled, and we have fullness in him. And so what will the fullness we have in Christ look like? I'm going to pick up from verse 15, and I'm going to say, first of all, we'll be thankful. We will be thankful everywhere and always. What will the fullness in Christ church look like? We will be thankful. We'll be thankful individually, but corporately as a church, we will be thankful. Now, why do I say that? Because if you look at verse 15, you'll notice be thankful comes at the end. Verse 16, at the end of the verse, with gratitude in your hearts to God. And at the end of verse 17, whatever you're doing, you'll be doing it giving thanks to God the Father through him. So in all these three verses that we look at tonight, they have the element of thankfulness, of gratitude. And that's run right through the letter, actually. If you just go back to chapter 1, verse 12, you'll see what Paul has said to the Colossians. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you. Note that. Because remember that the false teachers are saying, you're not quite there. You're not really as close to God as you can be. See, they're disqualifying. You haven't had the experience. You don't follow the rules. For he has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. I mean, we could have a prayer meeting lasting hours just thanking God for all of those blessings there. And then look on in 2, 6 and 7. Note this again. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live in him. Don't move away from him. You have everything you need in Christ. You're united to Christ. He's living in you by his Spirit. Rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught. Look, and overflowing with thankfulness. So as you've gone on in the Christian life, you Colossians, overflow with thankfulness. And so when we come to these verses, again, the theme of thankfulness is just there, isn't it? I've given it as a separate point. Be thankful everywhere and always. with all the fullness you have in Christ, be thankful everywhere and always. And of course you will be. You and I have fullness in Christ. We have fullness of reconciliation. We're no longer enemies of God, but we've been reconciled back to God through Christ's blood shed on the cross. We have fullness of redemption. We've been freed from the penalty and the power of sin. We have fullness of justification. Remember, he talks about in chapter 2. We have fullness of new life in Christ. We have Christ living in us by his Spirit. We have fullness of hope. There's still more to come, isn't there, ultimately, in the new creation. So how can we not be thankful everywhere and always? Praise God that we are a thankful church. And it's interesting to reflect, isn't it, that one of the marks of the unbeliever is they never thank God. You notice that? In fact, Romans 1 verse 21 says that, so we can believe that because that is what God's word says. But Romans 1 verse 21 says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God or gave thanks to him." You see, one major evidence of sin and rebellion against God is that sinners don't thank God. Now, they know in their heart of hearts, most people know that there is a God, but they suppress the truth. They worship idols, they don't glorify God, and they don't thank God. Because if they thank God, of course, they're acknowledging that there is a God who's given them great good gifts. I think I've told the story of my sister, my older sister, who recovered from ovarian cancer. And my mother said to me how thankful she was. And so I asked my mother, who I call a prayer book Christian, who she was thankful to. And my mother kind of mumbled, "Oh, she's thankful to the doctors and the nurses." And I said, "Is she thankful to God for giving her a few more years on this earth to go off on lots of holidays?" And my mother kind of said, "Oh, Robert, let's not talk about that." You see, my sister would not thank God that God has given her a few more years on this planet. Now, I pray for her. I want to encourage her to think, look, that's interesting, striking. Now, we have fullness in Christ. So do you thank God for who you are in Christ and all that you have? I know that you thank God for happy situations when things work out. But of course, the real test of thankfulness is when we're thanking God for who we are in Christ in the midst of the trials and the difficulties and all the pain and the suffering of life, isn't it? So be thankful everywhere and always. It's very striking that that comes in these three verses and right the way through the letter. So with all the fullness you have in Christ, secondly, let his peace rule. Look at this, verse 15. Sorry, we're kicking off now. Let the peace of Christ rule. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. So note, this is corporate. This is about the body of Christ. It's addressed to the whole church. We're called as members of one body, and we're called to peace. Let the peace of Christ. What is the peace of Christ? This is not some subjective inner feeling that we're to try to manufacture. The most peaceful that I can feel inwardly and subjectively is to go and sit on the boundary of a cricket ground in the sun and watch cricket. This is the objective peace that we now have with God. You see, we were enemies. Chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. We were enemies. Now we've been reconciled back to God. by the shed blood of Christ. So we're at peace with God in Christ. And that peace must rule in our hearts. Now, I'm not doubting that there is a subjective inner thing of when the Holy Spirit really works that in us, that I am at peace with God, therefore I must be at peace with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body you are called to peace. You see, this is my point about, have we come as individuals tonight? But of course, we're part of one body, that is Christ. We must be at peace with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're at peace with God in Christ. Let that peace rule in his body. You see, right from verse 9, I think it's verse 9, verse 9, this fullness of Christ is worked out in the church, isn't it? He moves from, you put to death these things to where it's kind of worked out with one another. Do not lie to each other. You've put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of the Creator. Verse 11, here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. So this new life in Christ is worked out corporately. You see, in human society, we love to have distinctions, don't we? In the old life, lots of things separate us, distinctions. So the Greeks, of course, boasted in their culture and intellect, just like we might do. He went to such and such a school or university, you know. He got a degree from a good university. But of course, in the new community in Christ, Christ is all. Couldn't care two stuffs what university you went to. Christ is all. You know, he grew up in that church, she grew up in that church. He's been the treasurer for 30 years, He doesn't care two oaths. Christ is all. You see, we love to make distinctions. But Christ is all. We're being renewed in the image, collectively, of its creator, that is Christ. And you see, the false teachers in Colossae, they loved to disqualify people, didn't they? They didn't have the right gifts or experiences or follow the right religious rules, but no, Christ is all. Christ is all. You've got Christ, you've got everything. Of course, you're to grow in knowledge of your fullness in Christ. But you see, the point here is, therefore, you must let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, because Christ is all. So as you meet together, as we meet together, we need to consciously say to ourselves that Christ is all. So his peace must reign in our relationships. And praise God that generally at Trinity it does. And we must continue to work at that. Think of the brother and sister who you find hardest in this church family, this one body that is Christ's body. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Rule in your heart. But how can we, if you like, be reminded of who we are in Christ, this fullness that we have? Well, thirdly, let his word fill your heart and ministry to others. Verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. So again, you see, this is about our corporate life. This word of Christ that is to dwell in us. Yes, of course, individually, but us as a church, richly. The word of Christ, I take, is the gospel word, the word of truth that the Colossians had heard from Epaphras, who'd been a faithful servant of the Apostle Paul. And it's fascinating, isn't it, that the Apostle Paul in this letter can talk about Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ in you, the hope of glory, 1 verse 27. Which of course means that Christ comes to dwell in us fully by his Spirit when we trust him. And here he talks about the word of Christ dwelling in you richly. One of the many examples of the word, Christ's word and Christ's Spirit going together. We sometimes want to drive them apart. And the word of Christ is to dwell richly, abundantly. So the Spirit-directed life is the word-directed life. The Spirit-shaped life is the word-shaped life. They go together. I don't think this verse means that we need to walk around with our Bibles open every day of every moment, but it is letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, filling our hearts, filling our minds with his word. And let me suggest that there may be something from tonight or from this morning that we really let dwell in us richly over this coming week. My personal view is that, of course, we can have more and more of his word. But, you know, that's great. You've got a hunger for the word. But it's interesting here at Trinity, we have, and you're the superstars because you turn up to the evening service, but we have a morning service, we have an evening service, we have our growth groups. You might have your personal Bible reading. That's a lot of the word. So let it dwell in us richly. But there may be something that we really, an individual verse we really want to reflect on. I often try and take one verse through the week. And actually, there are some great verses here, aren't there? Just to meditate on further through this week, to dwell in us richly. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. Because this is worked out in ministry. Obviously, it helps us to grow, but in teaching and admonishing one another. So this helps us to minister to one another. See, what comes out of our hearts when we talk to others, well, what will come out will be the word that dwells in us richly as we teach and admonish. Teach and admonish. So we should expect the positive and sometimes the negative as we use God's word to minister to one another. Can I also say one other thing? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's not just about amount. It's not just about amount, but attitude. What is our attitude? You see, it refers to the way we listen and study and meditate and carry with us God's word. Let it dwell in you richly. Not just I turn up to the evening service, I forget all about it. Richly. So in the sense of bearing fruit in our ministry with others. And it's fascinating too as well that everybody has a teaching responsibility. Thank you for providing for me to teach the Bible and do the work of the evangelist. But we all have teaching ministries. We all have teaching ministries. We're all to teach one another and admonish one another. So let's work at that. And just look at that phrase, with all wisdom. Look at that. Why? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. Don't we need wisdom as we teach and admonish one another? Yes, because we can put our foot in it, can't we? Now, interestingly, I think when it says with all wisdom, the Apostle Paul's picking up the fact that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He's talked about that back in chapter 2, verse 3. You see, Christ is everything you need. When you talk to somebody else, what do they need? Christ. But they need the particular Christ for their situation, don't they? So if tonight you're talking to somebody and somebody's saying, I just can't believe that God can forgive my sin again that I've fallen into, you'll need to bring the Christ who says, yes, all your sin is forgiven in Christ. But if you're talking to somebody afterwards and they say, well, it doesn't really matter this week about serving Christ, does it? You'll need to bring the Christ who says, no, you must deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. You see, when it says teach, admonish one another with wisdom, we need to know what is the Christ's word that we need to bring to bear in that person's life. Does that make sense? It's really important. I think that's exactly what he's saying. Christ with all wisdom. And then, oh, yes, let's not forget. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And almost certainly, one of the important ways that we teach, certainly in the Colossian church, in the early days of the church, was through what they sang. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. An important way of teaching. Psalms, that seems pretty obvious to be psalms. Hymns and spiritual songs, lots of people like to write lots of things about what the difference is, and I'm not convinced by any of them. The point is that what we sing needs to be jam-packed full with God, the Father, His Son, the supremacy and the sufficiency of Christ. And, of course, singing is a great way of teaching Bible truth and building us up in Christ and bringing our praise and thanks to God. It is also a great way of learning error if songs aren't quite right. So we do need to take care about what we sing, to think critically about what we sing. I try to follow the rule that we look at the words first and we're not swept away by a fantastic tune. So we sing, work hard to sing what is scriptural. And then lastly, fourthly, let everything be done. Everything you say and do be done with thanks in Christ. What a great verse 17. Here's one to carry around with you this week, to dwell in you richly. And whatever you do this week, what an extraordinary variety of things will happen this week in these lives that I see before me. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, think of all the different things that are going to happen, be said, the conversations you're going to have, the things you're going to say. Whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Whatever you do, whatever you say. So just reflect on this, that sin is not just a list of harmful, wrong things that we've seen. Sin is leaving Jesus Christ out of the everyday whatever you do, isn't it? So whatever you do, David goes down a cave this week, whatever you do, in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know what that will look like for David, down a cave, but you're in Christ, aren't you? Whatever you do, you know, the way you dangle your client, you know, I don't know what, but thing, you know, I'm just saying, you know, I was thinking it's interesting, you know, what's it mean for him instructing? Dave's just been on a camp actually, so even more he's been doing. But you see what I'm saying, whatever you do. Now, it's harder to think about whatever you do if you're changing a nappy or the kids are being bawling out or whatever. But whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus in Christ. It's great stuff, isn't it? And just to point out that next week, the whatever you do, whether in word and deed, will be worked out in different relationships in Christ. But that's next week.